Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the insights of our hearts and our minds be pleasing to you, O God, you who are our rock and our salvation. Amen. One day, while I was driving along after a light rainfall, I spotted a beautiful rainbow in the sky. I pulled over and got out of my car in order to get a better view. It was breathtaking, you know. Rainbows have a way of stopping us in our tracks. They draw us into something wondrous and spiritual. Growing up, I remember the stories people told about there being a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. While that's not quite true, there is a gold mine of blessings in a rainbow. A rainbow brings joy to my heart, and joy is priceless. A rainbow brings a smile to my face and takes away that frown. It reminds me of the story of Noah, and it gives me hope. Years ago, while I was serving in the Reformed Church of Port Ewen, we started a ministry there for children of divorce. That ministry consisted of support groups for children from age 3 up to high school, and for their parents as well. You know, it was called Rainbows for All God's Children. The storm of divorce leaves kids reeling, and this program helped to give them hope. At the end of the storm in their life, there is a rainbow. The program was a success, especially for the teenagers. We weathered many a storm during the 7 years that we were together, and I watched as joy and hope returned to their hearts and their souls as they journeyed through their suffering. Life is filled with storms. Life is filled with times when the winds of adversity and hardship nearly blow us over and drown us in despair. Some of these storms are with us now, with this pandemic, and with the political and social issues facing our country, and with climate change. It is at times like these, when we are at our wits' end, that it's hard to believe that God is with us. So often, we feel abandoned, left alone in our misery to fend for ourselves. The story of Noah reminds us that this is not so. If we look carefully at this story, we will notice that it was God who acted in making the promise to Noah not to destroy all of creation again. Noah did nothing to bring about this promise. It was entirely God's initiative. This is a good thing because human beings have a tendency to think that they need to do something to obtain God's love and grace. We have a hard time understanding that God freely gives love and grace to us without our doing anything to deserve it. If it depends upon us, we have a very poor record indeed. The fact is that we can do nothing to deserve God's love, which is exactly why it is a gift. A gift has no strings attached to it. It just needs to be accepted. We just have to receive it. So God made a promise to Noah and to God's self, a covenant with God's self and with Noah to never again destroy all earth and all flesh. I would presume that many of us who are living through all the storms of life we've been experiencing for some time now might just be a little bit suspicious of that promise. However, God's promises are true, and God does keep God's word. We can trust God to be faithful. As a sign of the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature, God placed a bow in the clouds. Bow is a weapon of destruction used for hunt, to hunt and to kill. And yet God took the bow and hung it up in the sky, put it far away, adorned it with color, to become the rainbow, a sign of God's promise and faithfulness, a sign of hope and life. God is great at doing things like this. You know, God uses many common things as signs of hope for us. God uses circumstances and people and things and animals to breathe hope into us and to give us new life. When my children's father died, my older son was despondent. He had just lost his best friend when his father died. Knowing how hard it was for him, my daughter-in-law suggested they get some kittens. Carl loves cats, and she knew that. She knew what having some new life around would do for his spirit. Even though she was allergic to cats, she urged him to get some kittens at the pet store. What a difference that made for him, actually for both of them. These little critters changed their focus from death to life, from despair to hope. They brought joy and laughter into their home. And that's why so many people are adopting pets these days. I'm sure that you can think of many illustrations like this to show how God works. The signs of hope are all around us. Take time to look for them. Soon, pretty soon, spring will be with us, hard as that is to believe. The snowdrops and the daffodils will be pushing their way up through the frozen ground. The days are growing longer. What hope this brings for us that the winter will soon be over. New life is coming. In the same way, the signs of God's hope assure us that the cold winter of our lives will soon be over and new life is on its way. The new vaccines are doing that. Ash Wednesday ushered in the church's liturgical season of Lent. This is the first Sunday of Lent when we begin the journey to the cross. The cross is also a sign of death and destruction. It was the worst sort of execution for criminals in the Roman Empire. But God turned the cross into a sign of hope and new life in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we follow carefully the life of Jesus, we will see many signs of new life and hope there. Those who have eyes see, and those who have ears hear. The signs were there then, and they're there for us today. Jesus' baptism was one sign. The heavens were torn apart, and the Spirit, like a dove, descended on him. The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Remember, too, that it was a dove that brought a green olive leaf to Noah on the ark after the flood had subsided. Even as the waters of the flood cleansed the earth from all its evil and sin, so do the waters of baptism cleanse us and give us new life in Jesus Christ. In Mark, the story of Jesus' temptations in the wilderness is very short. We have to turn to the other Gospels for a more complete report. Throughout the 40 days, Satan tempted Jesus to turn from the path that God has set for him to travel. You know, Satan tried mightily to seduce Jesus, to make choices that would corrupt his purpose here and to go against God's principles. It was a wild time in Jesus' life as he sifted through the various options at his disposal, and he chose God's will each time. His wilderness time was a time when God honed his spirit and prepared Jesus with strength and purpose for what was next. He is a model for us as we go through our times of temptations and discernment of God's will. His strength can be ours as we choose carefully from among our options. The Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. You know, it's not a place that we willingly go. You know, God drives us to a new place that forces us to let go of what we've learned and what we've depended upon. All that is not God. We depend on others. We depend upon others. We depend on money or power or alcohol or gambling, you name your dependency. None of them are of God. We need to rely upon the sacred to carry us through life. Jesus learned to trust God, to depend upon God in his wilderness experience, and that learning and suffering carried him through all the times of temptation and suffering on his journey to the cross. You know, Mark reports that angels waited on him. Now, Jesus was not entirely alone in that time of temptation. Neither are we when we come to our wilderness times and our times of suffering, when we face the wild beasts both without and within. God sends us angels, messengers, to remind us of God's purposes and plans for us as well. You know, in my own life, God's angels have ministered to me, reminding me of God's ways and urging me to move from despair into life. Since this pandemic has begun and I have gone into a time of deep isolation, two angels appear in my driveway every Saturday evening. They bring me a dinner from Germania, and we stand and talk, socially distanced, of course, in my driveway. I so look forward to Saturday evenings and don't feel so alone. They remind me that I am not alone in this pandemic storm. You have your angels too. Think of who they are, those folks who have rescued you from the brink of disaster, those folks who call you to your true self. There are many Bible verses that you memorize, perhaps, and the memories of how God saved you in the past. Jesus preached that the kingdom of God has come near. He urged people to repent and believe in the good news. Jesus urged people to think about God's ways and how they wandered from them. That's what the season of Lent is all about. It's a time to make a life assessment and to ask God to get us back onto the right track again. It's a time to get our priorities straight and to acknowledge what it is that distracts us from meeting those priorities. It's a time to confess the ways that we have failed to keep to God's paths and to ask God to turn us around and put us back on the right path. The good news is that God is always willing to give us a helping hand. God is always ready to forgive us and to give us another chance. God is always ready to fill us with hope and with new life. Remember the rainbow, the sign that God will sustain us and care for us and for every living creature always. Remember the cross, the sign that God can take the greatest evil that can be done and turn it around. Remember the empty tomb. You know, it is that sign of life, that sign that God is ready to take death and to turn it into life. Believe that God is with you and that God is able to do the same thing in your life. This is the good news of which Jesus spoke. Believe this good news. Believe words of hope and live. Let us pray. Lord of life, we thank you for your promises to sustain us in time of trouble and to be with us always. Thank you for all your signs of love and care and hope, most especially the gift of Jesus, your Son, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.